Welcome back to The Takeaway. I'm Todd Zwillick. The Academy Awards is giving out 4 honorary Oscars for lifetime achievement this weekend. Now, the honorary Oscar is sometimes seen as a way for the Academy to make good on artists it's overlooked. Think Alfred Hitchcock or Steve Martin or Spike Lee. They all got honorary Oscars after never winning one for any individual movie. Well, at least one of the winners this year has spent his career making movies that the Academy never really noticed.
You be a man if you can, Stan.
Man. You wait just 1 minute. You're talking about be a man, stand up. Don't you know it's more to it than just with your fists? The scars on your mug? You talking about an animal or what? No, you here. You use your brain. That's what you use.
That's a scene there from Charles Burnett's 1977 film Killer of Sheep. It was Burnett's graduate school thesis, a realistic look into the everyday lives of a working-class African-American family in the Watts neighborhood in Los Angeles. Burnett spent his career making films like this, showing the inner lives of African-Americans on screen, films like My Brother's Wedding and To Sleep With Anger.
I remember sharing my film in Hawaii, To Sleep With Anger. And after the showing, a white lady came up to me and said, I didn't know black people had washing machines. And you don't get angry, you sort of understand. Because most of the movies that are shown are distorted and don't really give you a true sampling of who we are as people.
I sat down with Charles Burnett ahead of his honorary Oscar ceremony this weekend. He says it wasn't until he got to college that he figured out how to tell the stories that mattered to the community he was from.
Most of us who went to UCLA at the time were rebelling against a sort of typical movie that were stereotypes of the black and people of color's community. And we were responding to that. And so we made films that we wanted to reflect our values and sensitivity. We weren't consciously trying to create a new school or anything like that. We just met and to talk about what we needed to do for our community and how to represent it. And I had taken a lot of classes by Basil Wright, the famous British documentary filmmaker. And what he said really sort of put me on the right track.
What did he say to you?
What I was concerned about was how do I relate in this world, you know, commercialism and entertainment. He was saying it's about being honest, about telling your story and giving people an idea of what you've experienced and what the people you live with and how they see the world. And it was that made it sort of real to me. It's not about entertaining. It's about conveying these stories and the narratives that can be very powerful and can change people's attitude toward people of color.
Are there young black directors today or directors of color who you feel are achieving that voice of authenticity that you went for when you were younger?
Oh, yeah, there's tons of them out there now. You know, I just was looking at the Barry Jenkins work. You know, he's gotten a lot of response to his film, which I'm very happy for because it opens the door for other filmmakers. And there's, you know, Ava DuVernay, there's Julie Dash, there's a lot of people are getting exposed that should have happened long ago.
You know, I wanted the chance to ask you about the film industry more broadly and film today. A lot of my friends have been arguing to me lately that it's not as worth going to the movies as it used to be. And not because movies are bad, movies are still great, but that television is so good and streaming on Netflix and Amazon and other outlets is so well-funded. Why go to a 2-hour movie when you can see a 12-episode stretch of plot development and character development? How do you feel about that?
There's some truth to that, but I think for me, they grew up in a theater, so to speak, where you feel the person next to you enjoying you, sharing in this experience. You can't beat that. I mean, I don't like looking at postage stamp images on a cell phone or whatever. I respond to the film when the person next to me finds it interesting and responds to certain things in the film. It just brings out a lot more in the film. I used to go, when I used to work downtown at the library, I would go to Los Angeles, downtown Los Angeles Theater, because I worked a couple of blocks away at the main branch. And I would just go and sit in the theater and watch, you know, a movie, of course. But it was just an extraordinary experience sitting there. And I saw Lawrence of Arabia there, and it was just the music and everything. It was just great.
Lawrence of Arabia has to be big. You can't watch that on a phone or even an iPad.
No, you can't. It's just amazing. I mean, that's the whole part of film is having, be engulfed by this image. It's just an amazing experience.
You know, speaking of movies that have to be big, I was at the movies over the weekend. They showed the trailer for Black Panther, which looks big and awesome and expensive, and it's going to make some money. And young black director Ryan Coogler is behind this film, 31 years old, not too different from the age you were when you made Killer of Sheep. And I wonder if you look at that and think, gosh, if I were back at that age out of grad school or in grad school, age 33, if somebody in Hollywood might have turned around and offered me an action blockbuster like that.
I don't know. I wasn't really interested in those kind of films at that time. I mean, we were trying to help the community. And like when I did Killer of Sheep, one of the purposes was to bring filmmaking to the community to demystify it. And that was part of the goal. It wasn't to make money or be popular, but it was to raise the consciousness of the people in the community, particularly young kids.
Well, I think at that time, 1977, Killer of Sheep and the types of films you were making and for the reason you were making them, I'm going to guess you couldn't have imagined this moment and a Lifetime Achievement Award from the Academy and an Oscar. But do you have any sense, looking back, getting honored by Hollywood, by the biggest institution in Hollywood, this award, Lifetime of Achievement? You spent a career not involved in that kind of institution. That probably wasn't your goal, but Hollywood, for all those years, might have seen you as a fringe director, not an established director, and now they're giving you a big award.
Yeah. It's all the more ironic in a way. How things come in full circle in a way. The Academy used to be virtually all white. And if you look at it now, it's really changed. And I think the last president was largely responsible for that. And so you get not only that, but you get a lot of younger people in the Academy, people of color and younger. And so obviously that's going to make a big difference. I don't think it was any kind of conspiracy. I think it's just the fact that there was a certain body of people that went. And these other films were out there that they don't necessarily, for some reason, don't get in the Academy screenings. But, that's been changing.
Well, it's a special time to see your lifetime of work recognized. Whether you're invested in institutions like the Academy or not, an Oscar is a special honor for your lifetime of work, Charles Burnett. Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
Charles Burnett is the director of Killer of Sheep, To Sleep with Anger, My Brother's Wedding, and other films. Honored with a Lifetime Achievement Award from the Academy of Motion Pictures Arts and Sciences, and Oscar this week for his lifetime of work.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing. Or
politics.
Country music.
Hockey.
Sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.